We're so blessed that you tuned into Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. If you've been tuning in, you know that Tara has been doing a fantastic study, you guys, about God and Abraham and Genesis 18, 1 through 10, and how Abraham is such a loving person. He has the heart just practicing God's presence. And he also talks about how God wants a relationship with us, and he's showing in this passage how he shows Abraham he also wants a relationship with him. And there's those times when we have to wait on God, and I know we don't like waiting, but if you think about it, Abraham and Sarah had to wait almost 14 years to hear from God about this promise. And so if he's willing to wait for us, we should be willing to wait for him.
Yes, and amen. Please, amen. Lord, help us. So I have some quotes that I just wanted to share. When I was reading Matthew Henry commentary, he was just kind of like in the zone with some really great zingers. and so I had to put them in because they were so powerful. He says, God visits those that first have the expectation to visit with him.
Mm-hmm. Expectation is a biggie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He also said, it is better to feed 5 drones or wasps than to starve 1 bee. So to keep 1 bee from eating, it's better to feed those that might be drones or wasps. They did not know in the Middle East if they were feeding drones and wasps. And so in order to make sure that they cared for every bee, they fed anyone that came through. Mm-hmm. They cared for anyone. How, that's pretty powerful if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really a stinger.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of that's good. It's a stinger.
Sorry.
It's a good one, Tara.
You should have just seen Carrie's. She's like, are you kidding me? Did she just do a dad joke on the radio?
It's a good one. Second one today.
Okay. And you also have to remember that, you know, God brings people in our lives for a reason. Mm. We may not think they're there for a reason, mm-hmm. but, you know, if they're there, they are, and it's probably God's reason.
Very much so. And that fits with the next quote.
Oh, okay.
The Holy Ghost takes particular notice of those who very freely and affectionately take care of strangers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hmm. And then he said, we are likely to have the most comfort of those good works to which we are most free and forward to give. That what we give tends to come back.
It does.
Okay.
All more.
And on the flip side of that, I know I was really convicted in my young 20s. This is more on the verbal side. Because what I want us to understand is generosity and sacrifice and the expectation of community, of having the presence of God and the invitation of Jesus, means that I have to even guard my words. And so I have found that when I use my pointing finger in judgment, it's often my own sin that I am calling out in somebody else. And so think on that, and the comfort we give to others is often what we receive. And so guarding that in ourselves and stuff. And so I've learned that the hard way.
Well, even in this passage, you know, Sarah's kind of laughing to herself, but God knows. You know, and that would make us really, we forget. He knows, he hears, he sees.
Yeah.
So whatever comes out of our mouth, if it's not honoring him.
Yeah. And we don't cover that part of the story, but God does say, why is she laughing?
Yeah.
She's
exactly
like, I'm not
right.
laughing. Yeah. It was really funny. Okay, so what I want us to understand is this. We'll read the passage here in a second. I want us to think on the protocol that the visitor, they had rules too. So the expectation was is that the male of the household would offer the little that they were willing to give. The guest was not allowed to ask for anything beyond what is which is offered. But the expectation was is that when a guest comes, they will have either good news or they're bringing an important message. So just that is something that they had. And what did they decide? Well, how would they share? So something good from their story, I don't know, but that is something that they had. And so I want us to be thinking through that. And then I want us to be thinking what that might have looked like with how the angel of the Lord and what they did and how their behavior was towards Abraham. So Carrie, would you mind reading the passage for us again? And we'll go from there. Genesis 18, 1 through 10.
And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat by the door, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man, who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Then they said to him, Where is Sarah your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. And the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent behind him.
Hmm. May God honor the reading of his word. Okay, thinking through the angels of the Lord, and the protocol that a messenger should bring good news or a message. What did they do? How did they bring good news, and what was the message? We're on the radio.
We can't ponder and think here. What?
We are pondering.
We're in deep thought. Good question.
Are you talking about the, you talked about the, having the son? The child.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That's the end.
There must have been something before
it,
that.
It really wasn't a complicated question.
No, that's what I was thinking. There has to be something before that.
Is this harder than I think?
How'd you guys do out there?
It really was that simple.
Oh, okay. There you go. Good job, Sandy.
That's the reason why I said that. We're on the radio. Yeah, they were bringing good news.
Yeah.
God is fulfilling his promise. All right, so as I was thinking through how that process happened, I saw some things that they modeled as a guest. Okay, because sometimes I think, how do we look at it and we show how we should be with giving hospitality, but what receiving? Should hospitality look like as the guest? Mm. So they expected the guest to come with good news or to bring a message. Mm-hmm. And so what are good things you could share or something along that lines. But what I noticed is when Abraham spoke, they listened. Mm-hmm. Just the gift of listening. A good guest will listen. I also noticed that they agreed to receive Abraham's hospitality. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a circumstance where you've offered and you've had somebody receive it graciously? Have you ever been in a circumstance where you've offered and you felt like it was ungracious and receipt? Whether it's,
You hear that thing, don't take away their joy or their blessing by giving you something because somebody wants to either return it or give you something else. Or I don't know if that's where you're going.
Well, yes, I think that's good. I don't know. I'm just going to make something up. Let's just say, I know, for real. So you have orange juice, and you pour orange juice so that everybody can have juice. And maybe you typically don't buy orange juice, but you did because you had guests. And the person's like, oh, my goodness, this has got pulp.
Yeah.
Okay. That's ungracious.
Yeah. Right. But do you see, like, we don't drink, maybe they cloak it. Oh, we don't drink orange juice with pulp.
Too much sugar.
Or do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And how they can actually make what is a good offering and they can hurt in the process by the things that they say. Some things just shouldn't be said.
Right.
And regardless if that's how you do it or how your home does it or if your home does it differently, be careful how it's worded as the guest and thinking through what you would say and do. And they're receiving, okay, do as you say. And they were willing to receive it. And so I love that. When they recognized that Sarah, which I love the fact they named her by name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's Sarah? They actually inquired of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So something that a good guest can do is mm-hmm. like, how is your family? What's going on? You know, your children or your spouse or your parents, you mm-hmm. know, taking the time to do that. I know for myself and the fact that I do a lot of ministry one-on-ones, I've always been blessed by the leaders that I have, that when I will ask, you know, how or something, that they have given back by asking of me. I've always been surprised because I have a lot of one-on-ones, which I don't hold it against anybody, but may never, ever inquire anything of me. It's just, I'm coming, you're going to pour in, mm-hmm. you're going to give, and I'm going to move on. And in that case, I will pour and give. But when I am all of a sudden surprised because I have somebody that comes in and then they care enough to ask back, I realize, oh, wow, that's so kind. Mm-hmm. They cared mm-hmm. to ask me.
And I think that happens a lot with our pastors. People come just to be fed and forget that they need fed also.
Yeah.
And not necessarily the word, but encouragement, love.
Yeah. 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 And so recently I met a ministry leader at an event, and just my heart just was like, oh my goodness, this is somebody I need to keep in my life. Mm-hmm. And I was praying, and God put the person on my heart. And so I did a connection, you know, just, hey, I want you to know I'm praying right now, and I feel I'm supposed to be praying for you. What can I pray? And she was just blown away. She's like, oh my goodness, I can't even believe you did this, because she's somebody that's like in another state, far, mm-hmm. far away. And then a day or so later, hey, she sends me a text. I'm walking into prayer, and what do you need?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the giving back. And so mm-hmm. thinking through
it returns.
The how that is, and the feeding of one another. And they did that.
Mm-hmm.
They listened. They received. They inquired. Like, I was really blown away as I thought through how they demonstrated hospitality. They then gave the message. They informed Abraham of God's blessing to come. And so they gave their message. Not only did they give the message, but they gave him a timeline, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Nice that they know that.
Yeah.
and so it was all very clear and spoken out so that they could understand it. So I wanted us to think of it from the flip side of the person who is the guest and why it's important to be a good guest.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yes, as the host, I should be thinking, how can I be communal? How can I be generous? How can I be sacrificial? How can I help this person to be in the presence of God? And how can I help this person join the invitation of God? As a guest, mm-hmm. guess what? I should be asking, how can I be communal?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be generous? How can I be sacrificial? How can I bring this person into the presence of God? And how can I bring them into an invitation to God's plan? And if we both do that mutually, can you imagine the amazing things that God might do in our circumstances?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things that we definitely need to be challenging ourselves in. And I think that all of us want to be the one that is the hostess or the host.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to be, I think, the guest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if in my heart I have a hospitable heart as a guest, then it's not so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm actually thinking of the other person and the behavior of what I'm going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's easier to give. It is. Than receive.
You're so cute. That's so cute. Mm-hmm. And that's not meant to be where it's pressure.
No.
You know, but it's meant to, we just need to have those holy checks.
Intentional.
But just graciously yeah. receiving a gift is.
Yes. Hard sometimes.
So it's like receiving a compliment. You just
yeah.
say thank you,
yeah.
right? You know, it's so
yeah.
hard
yeah.
to just do that, and you make an excuse for you. Yeah, thank
yep.
you. Or receiving the gift that they're giving you well.
Yeah.
yeah.
Exactly.
the key is in both.
Yeah.
They're thinking that this is sacred. This is a holy moment. Like, I am in the presence of someone that could potentially be God.
Yeah.
That is what they actually thought. And because of Abraham's story, it was Jesus who was present.
Right.
And so not knowing that I could have an actual visitation from God, that was how they had their heart and mind set. So if I have my heart set and that I could invite God into this encounter, into this circumstance, it really stops me and makes me think.
Well, it's just preparedness. We need to be prepared for such things, right? I mean, we're called to be prepared always, but if we're in that state of constantly being prepared, then we're ready for it when it comes to us.
Be ready.
Yeah, that holy expectation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it also says in the Bible that there are angels among us. We don't know if we are. We have one. I mean, it does. I'm thinking, wonder if that was an angel.
Right?
Don't know them, but, you know.
And having that with, I don't even remember who started the holy expectation. Do you remember which?
I don't.
Author, I can't even remember, or theologian. It's probably a theologian from a long time ago. But we should have a holy expectation in all of our circumstances that God will show up.
Mm-hmm.
Like having that in our heart, whether we're the host or the guest, either way. Mm-hmm. And when we have that in our mind, then that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the way we listen. It changes the way we interact. It changes our posture. I don't know. It just changes everything. And
holy expectation.
Yeah. And so then all of a sudden we can have these incredible encounters that just blow us away. And if we have that in our mindset, imagine how that makes each person feel, that I care enough that as I am interacting with you, that I see that this could be a God thing. And so I value you enough to honor you enough for the God thing to happen.
Mm.
The hard part is that when we have a circumstance when the person does not give back, and so seeing that. Now, what we learned in our protocols, remember, let's go back to the definition, a ger and a zar. A ger was a person who was willing to assimilate to the God standard. A czar was not.
Mm.
They were required to protect the ger. They were not required to protect the czar. And so that is what they would use as a test as they had these guests come. Thanks for listening. God bless.